Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
Yes. We're back, bro. We're back.
I love the Tony Robbins intro, dude. That was good.
Yes. I'm feeling it, man. Positive. We're manifesting just the greatest MMA sports betting season that you're ever going to see until 2023. 2022 will be one for the record books. Do you believe it?
When you come in like that, all Diego Sanchez-esque, it makes me think of one of two things. One, we're going to be absolutely fantastic this year. Or two, everything's going to fall by the wayside. It's going to blow up, but it's going to be a fantastic fucking ride, mi amigo.
No. This will be prime Diego.
The dream or the nightmare?
This will be the nightmare. This will be the nightmare because when Diego was the dream, things were dicey.
yeah.
And we're going back. We're going back. I want you to know ahead of time that my energy is up and my motivation it's just tenfold. Like, so I want to cue the listeners in on something here is that you and I, have not spoken very much since the last episode. We really haven't.
No.
And I didn't know if it's because like Christmas or New Year's or if you got the Chinese virus or what happened. But I haven't seen, like, this probably right now is the longest and the most you and I have spoken in about 3 weeks, which seems weird given what's about to take place over the next 365 days.
No, it's absolutely fantastic. I was going into this kind of like an Easter egg hunt. I looked at you as like the golden egg. Like, I knew you were out there. I was seeking you. I'm ready to find you. Here's the thing though, Dale. I thought maybe you'd come in. I was like, oh, Dale's going to come in with maybe a little fat. He put on some jolly weight over the holiday. Oh,
no, sir.
Maybe he's going to shave his beard. He's going to come in clean shaven, throw me for a loop.
Nope.
To be honest, dude. You look great. You look exactly the same. I'm happy to be back in the saddle.
Thanks, man. Thanks. You know, we have big plans for this year. One of which is we took kind of a just bro down year last year. You guys have heard us talk about this, you know, quite a bit, but we're going to recap because we're starting a fresh year. Had a little bit of a bro down year last year where we were in it to enjoy the sport. We just wanted to chop it up, have a good time. You know, we got cute, we got ugly, we got everywhere in between. But not our most profitable year, not what we cut our teeth at. Sure, we're not going to get rid of the things that you guys like, but we are going to improve on the things that make us good to begin with. And one of those is exactly that, being really freaking good at picking fights. You know more than most. I don't like losing anything. And the level of discontent that you see, whether it be on our social media or what I display on the show, is just about the most Mr. Rogers version of me toning it down as humanly possible. So I don't like to lose. And as such, we are not going to do very much of it this year. And I won't make excuses if it does happen, but I'm telling you right now, it's not going to. So.
No, we drank a lot of beer, which.
Ooh, crack that.
That's
open.
Not going to change. It's not going to change.
Yeah.
No, we're going to be firing on all cylinders. We're going to hit 70% win rate this year, 2022. Every pick you hear is going to fucking hit. You're going to put some cash in your pocket. I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to roll, dude.
Let's keep it under. Every pick you hear is going to put cash in your pocket. Let's keep it realistic. We're going to go back to what works. We're going to.
Women's MMA underdogs.
Women's MMA underdogs. Every time. Don't say anything else to me about it. Anybody from the Caucasus Mountains. Yes. This is just, listen.
Science.
If you are from the Caucasus Mountains or you are a woman's underdog, you will see some action this year. So that's just, we'll just go ahead and spoiler alert that out. But
yes,
the first fight card of the year is right around the corner. This Saturday night, we have punch list alum Calvin Kattar taking on Giga Chikadze, who, you know, as far as punch list lore is concerned, is one of our favorite fighters. He just so happens to be going up against one of our boys, one of our stay classy meets stable boys, or stable mates. So we have a hard time with this one, but we're going to keep it objective. We're going to break down the fight, and we'll ultimately, you know, leave you guys with some nuggets that can hopefully put some money in your pocket. But like I alluded to, we do have fights this weekend. Calvin Kattar is the main event, and he is sponsored by our show sponsor, Stay Classy Meats. If you go to stayclassymeats.com, guys, and use promo code FIST, you can save 10% on your entire order. It's been a couple weeks. You haven't heard me say it, or it might be your first time listening to the show. I will repeat it one more time. Stayclassymeats.com. Farm to table fresh food. No GMO, no HMO, none of that stuff. You know where your food came from. When I get my food, it tells me what cow and what number. So cow number 9081. That's my girl. She's been feeding my family for the last couple months. I appreciate you, cow number 9081. Appreciate you fighting a good fight. So,
yeah. Going into 2022, we also got to look good, guys. We're sponsored by Allegiance Clothing. Go to allegianceclothing.com, type in the code PUNCH. You're going to get 15% off site-wide. As you remember, in Q4 of 2021, we put out one design that we were a big fan of, the Hedge. Yeah. Pre-sold extremely well. We'll have more designs that we will put out in 2022. Not only be able to capitalize on these limited edition shirts, but you're going to get that 15% off code at PUNCH, 15% off site-wide.
Have you talked to Roy? I know. So to give you guys an update, those of you that did purchase a shirt, had a little bit of that Rona make its way through the Allegiance team. And that put a small little delay on production. And then Roy and his wife just had a kid. So congrats to them. But have you spoken to Roy? Do we know estimated ship date? Oh, you know?
They're shipping out. He's in process. Yeah. So if you did buy one, they are in transit. If not, they will be in transit this week, but you guys are covered. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. I didn't know. Now I know. See, this what happens when you go 3 weeks without talking to me. Yeah, you are doing a lot of that. Very campaigning. Like
political. Yes. Thank you. Kind of hold a quarter between your index finger and your thumb and kind of just pointing at people. It portrays a lot of confidence as well as gives me a lot of motivation.
Right. Well, with that, you have to use the thumb. Because if you do the finger, it's too powerful. And then if you do the knife hand, people get really upset. Those of you that know anything about the knife hand, if I start busting out the knife hand, things get weird. And then the knife hand's really important because you got to make sure that it's facing the right direction. The knife hand has to be with your palm up. That's
aggressive.
It can't be the other way around. Otherwise, people get very upset. Dude,
that's a new New Year's resolution. I'm only going to speak to people with the knife hand. Just be like,
have you never been knife handed before?
No, if I did, I would totally just be submissive. I'd be like, you win, good sir.
And any of our veterans that listen to this, there is nothing more intimidating than a DI rolling up on you and listen here. And they hit you with that knife hand right up in your face. I mean, they get right in your. Listen to me. I mean, they're right there. So that knife hand, that's a very serious thing. So
it's awesome.
I used to knife hand people all the time, man.
That's hardcore. I love it.
So get right up in there.
Yeah.
I may or may not have knife handed a kid or two.
For sure.
My kids may or may not have gotten a knife hand one time. Listen to me.
Yeah.
Stop crying, or I'm going to give you something to cry about.
Yeah.
You ever tell your kids that?
Box of mac and cheese. Let's go. Yeah.
You ever tell your kids that? Stop crying, I'll give you something to cry about?
No.
Oh. No. When they get older, you'll threaten them more.
Stop crying, I'll buy you a toy.
What? Bro.
Yeah, dude.
Dude. I threaten violence on my kids all the time. All the time. I always tell them, we have our backyard's fenced. I always tell them to throw them over the fence. Like, if you don't stop, I'm going to put you over the fence. I don't know. I've never put anything over the fence, but I always threaten that. I always say that, and I always tell them I'm going to send them to the moon. I don't know. I don't know why that is. Two of my dad phrases, send you to the moon and put you over the fence. All right, you ready?
Might call child services before I'm ready to go, but yes, I'm ready.
Okay, you ready to rock and roll? All right, cool.
Yeah.
First fight on the the first fight on the main card. A gentleman, you know, he's in the illustrious. We've never seen him in the same room. I believe that Bill Algeo, right. Billy Q, Corey Sandhagen were all remnants in the same test tube. They were all just kind of just shook them up, and then they just spread it out everywhere. Bill Algeo, 14-6, taking on Yo Anderson Brito at 12-2-1. Brito, if I'm not mistaken, Trey, is making his UFC debut, and he is actually a favorite over Bill Algeo, -133. Algeo coming back at a +113 over under on rounds is at 2.5. Now, you're a big jits guy, and you love you some Brazilians. Tell me more about Yo Anderson Brito. Do you know anything about him at all?
Very little, and it makes me very nervous because these are one of those matchups that the UFC obviously sees something. He's a Dana White Contender Series guy, strong takedowns. He's one of those guys that kind of smothers you, holds half guard, just starts pummel fisting just down to get it out. I love that type of style. I'm a huge fan of Bill Algeo. You and I, Bill Algeo, Billy Q, those are our boys, dude.
Right.
He's got, you know, Bill Algeo, good switch stances, great cardio. So regardless of Brito coming in and having a wearing style, I think that Bill Algeo is really good about getting his back up against the cage, getting up out of any distress. I'm going with the vet here. I think quality of competition is a huge thing to talk here. +113, I'll take that all day long. I think he's got good looks. He's going to have better striking. Can he evade the ground game of Brito? You know, take Brito. Sure, I saw him in his Dana White Contender Series. He seemed to wear in the later rounds, so maybe you want to take him by sub in that first round. But I think money line straight up, you got to go Algeo here.
I think what's interesting about this, and I'm going to tell you how I'm looking to play this. I want to see the weight cut for Brito. I want to make sure that he makes weight. But if I'm looking at him, he's got 12 wins as a professional, 10 of which have come via finish. Right? He's got 4 KOs. He's got 6 submissions. So. Yeah. He's got an extremely high finish rate, but the nuance and the point that I think that you touched on, but we kind of went over it really quickly, is the cardio as the fight progresses. Now, Contender Series, I believe there's quite an adrenaline dump there, right? Because it's you in the apex, you're fighting for a potential job. There's a lot of pressure there, right? It's very much an intimately pressured environment. And now gets to kind of run it back, but he's doing so, but it's his first, like, I'm here now fight, right? And he's going up against a guy, like you said, that has some experience. But as much as we love Bill Algeo, and we do love him, I do want to give a proper assessment of what we've seen so far, right? And what we have seen out of Bill Algeo is a guy that's lost 2 out of 3. Okay. What we've seen is a guy who spiked Carlisle. That's it. Now, he's got losses to Ricardo Ramos and Ricardo Lamas. Now, good thing for him, Yo Anderson's not named Ricardo. Otherwise, we would just go ahead and just pound this all day long. But
for sure,
what I'm more interested in this fight is I think that depending on – I might want to take an inside the distance play here because I feel like there's an opportunity with the relentless pace of Algeo to essentially have Brito gas somewhere in the mid second round, end of second round, and then put him in deep water in the third, late stoppage, third round stoppage, perhaps. I'm not interested in the over-under on 2.5 because I think that this is a fight where we might actually see something in the latter half that decides the fate of the fight, right? I do believe that Brito is going to be more dangerous early on. I want to see what the adrenaline looks like. I want to see what the energy management looks like, but we won't know till we're in. So I'm going to go ahead and, at least initially as it stands right now, Tuesday night, I'm more interested in an inside the distance play here. Of course, Bill Algeo at plus money is always fun, but this fight is really close. Pick 'em. Inside the distance is really close. I'm just going to hope for a finish. I love Brito's ability to finish fights, and a guy who can finish fights but has bad cardio, he's win or go home, right? He's die on the shield. You're either going to kill me or be killed. So I'm just going to take the inside the distance here for right now. I may adjust this come Saturday, but as it stands right now, that's where I like this fight to end.
I love that. Your connection to the Spike Carlisle fight was like perfect. This is a great replication of that. First round adrenaline dump, all energy from Brito, Algia.
Takes over in the second half of the fight. Now he didn't get Spike out of there, but the fight really was a tale of two halves. I mean, Spike came out like a house on fire, put it to Algeo, and then just really. So it's not anything that Bill hasn't seen before. We'll see how he navigates it. I'd like to see him get a finish here. My only concern with that is that, you know, not necessarily known for his finishes, to an extent, right? Algeo does pretty well. Of his wins, you know, right? We're talking about a guy. He's got 14 professional wins, 9 of which have come via finish. So still a pretty high finish percentage, not 10 out of 12. 9 out of 14 is not bad. Both these guys have penage. What? Why can't I say that word? I lost it now.
Penchant.
Penchant for winning fights. There you go. Dude, I totally lost the word there.
That was wild.
Inside the distance. Yep. Completely.
Especially because I don't really know what that word means, but I knew that that's what it sounded like.
You've heard me say it before. Right. All right. Yeah. Next up, we got Jake Collier at 12-6, taking on Chase Sherman at 15-8. Fat Jake Collier. And I hate to put him at that, but that's what he's coming in heavy, making his heavyweight. But boy, did he prove us wrong last time out. And as such, he's actually the favorite here against Chase Sherman. Over on rounds at 2.5. How do you see this one shaking out?
Bro, do you ever watch the show The Office? You love The Office, right?
Come on. Yeah, of course.
What was Dwight's – was his brother, the Amish dude? What was his name?
So Dwight did have a brother, but he didn't show up until the latter seasons when somebody died. I think his grandma died. But his – cousin that stayed with him was Moe's.
Okay. Yeah. Dude, Jake Collier looks like a fat version of Moe's. That's what I've decided. Yeah. That's what I have in my show prep for tonight. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
that's okay. It. Fat Moe's. Okay.
Coming off a split decision loss, though, to Carlos Felipe, who I think, and not to like fat shame and put them all in the same boat.
Yeah, but you do.
Carlos Felipe, to me, is the exact same person as Justin Taffa.
Ooh,
garbage.
Wow.
Fat.
Taffa just went out there and proved you wrong last time out. And he did not, murked though. A man. He literally murdered a man.
He did not. I will say this about Jake Collier, though. He's a guy that can get into boxing range. He is fairly durable. And when you're going against a guy in Chase Sherman, who's going to have more volume and a glass chin, that's a huge problem for a guy that strikes from distance versus a guy that's going to bull rush you, get inside that pocket and start to land heavy. I'm going more so in these heavyweight fights to look at the durability factor. And I think that Jake Collier has that in relation to Chase Sherman. Neither of these guys have good cardio. One's going to be more durable and one's going to put more of a volume out there. So the thing is, you're weighing, am I going to go with a durable guy or am I going to go with a guy that's going to go points wise? It's a heavyweight fight. So you think it's definitely going to be inside the distance. I think there's an opportunity based on the way that Chase Sherman fights for it to go over 1.5. Now, see, Vegas knows that at a heavyweight fight, this fight should go over 1.5, hence why they set it at 2.5. So I'm going to go with the person in the later rounds who's going to be more durable, who's going to put on more of an onslaught in Jake Collier. So that's where I'm going there.
I'm on Jake Collier, but for different reasons. So I don't believe that Chase Sherman has a glass chin. I think that's a harsh assessment. Last time he was knocked out was 2018. And that was against Augusto Sakai, and has fought nearly 10 times since then and hasn't been finished. So, I'm not trying to be corrective. I don't think that he has a glass chin. I do believe that he gets hurt in his fights. He's got that very vertical chin level, doesn't put his chin down, rock 'em, sock 'em kind of approach to things. He gets hit a lot. Jake Collier has looked a lot better. He showed up for the Tom Aspinall fight. We were all like, what on earth is happening? Like, exactly. It's like he came in from cutting the grass and just got slept by Tom Aspinall. But then he comes back and, you know, he had the fight with, what's his face? Philippe, where yes, it was a split decision loss, but I thought he looked good in that fight, all things considered.
I think he won it.
And then he beat your boy, John Volante, who we all know how much you love John Volante. so I think that one of the things that you have to consider is that this fight is another one that's incredibly even. And who I've seen look better as of late is Jake Collier. Chat says that Chase Sherman has lost to Porter and Arlovsky. Now, the guy who wrote that in the chat has listened to us for a while now. You know that when Andrei Arlovsky shows up, we tend to bet him against younger fighters because he's very good at using veteran wile to win fights. I'm a big Andrei Arlovsky stan when it comes to fighting younger, inexperienced fighters. Obviously, that didn't shake out for us in the Tom Aspinall fight, but we're not here to talk about Andrei Arlovsky. The Parker Porter version of Chase
Fat.
Lost, but Parker Porter looked like the Porter Fat. That was on the regional scene that people had him hyped up about. He came out and actually looked the part, right? Like that, what people were talking about. So I think, given the same components, I'm gonna go with Collier here, -125. I'm going to take him. This is a heavyweight fight. Anything can happen. Everybody knows that asterisk exists on heavyweight fights. But Collier, -125. He's looked better as of late. Recency bias, maybe. I don't know. Chase Sherman's another guy that's also been busted for being on the juice before. He's been on and off gear a couple times in his career. So we'll see. But as of right now, Jake Collier.
Is he on that like Decaderbo, dude? What was he on?
I don't know what he was on, man. I think he came back. Who'd he fight? And then he was gone for a grip. Where was it? He came back and fought. Was it the dude? Who was it that he fought? He fought somebody and he was gone for a while.
He's on that NO Explode, dude. NO Explode. Pre-workout shit, dude. Yep.
He was on that. He was on that Zions.
Oh, Zions, dude.
He was on that Zions, bro.
I remember college.
Dude, Zions was where it was at, man.
That was good stuff, dude. Bro. That was the type of pre-workouts where you take it and all of a sudden you get freakishly itchy and you're like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah, I'm going to have a heart attack, but I feel like I need a pump, dude. I need a pump.
Yeah, make my nose itchy. So I bought two cases of Zions one time for $10 total. There was a place and they're, I don't know if they're nationwide, but they're definitely East Coast called Big Lots. Do you guys have Big Lots out there?
No.
Okay. So Big Lots is like, I don't know, bro. It's bootleg. Like it's like stuff that's got scratch and dent and just generics. I mean, I don't know, man. It's like, I can't even describe what Big Lots is. It's a discount retail place, right? Yeah. But they sell everything from food to furniture in Big Lots. It's a very strange place. Somebody that listens to the show will know what Big Lots is. So anyway, we had a Big Lots. Oh no, wasn't Big Lots? Maybe it was. It was Big Lots or Busy Beaver. I can't remember. Anyway, doesn't matter.
Jack 3D Portland.
Yeah, oh, for sure. They had Zions. They had the cases. Like the blister pack cases of like 24, they had them for $5 a piece. Now, I was working at the prison at the time, and I was like, hey, man, that's cheap energy drinks. You know what I mean? I'm taking cases and putting them in my truck. So I buy two of them. I go, and I put them in my locker at work. And like for a week, I'm drinking the 2 Zions a day. And I hadn't seen Zions at this point. I hadn't seen Zions in years. It wasn't even sponsored the UFC anymore, but I just remembered it from there, getting good energy off of them the whole nine, you know, staying up through midnight shifts. Then I look at the can. They were expired by like 3 years. I was drinking cherry limeade Zionses, 2 cases of them that were expired for like 3 years. So if I ever grow a horn or a lump on my back, Zions. That's probably why I've never gotten COVID, is because I drank 17 gallons of 3-year-old Zions.
Dude.
Chinese virus is no match for my blood, bro.
Absolutely not.
So see, they got it all wrong. They keep saying trust the science. What they should be saying is trust the Zions.
Fauci, back the fuck off, dude.
Back up, bro. Cherry limeade Zions. All right. Brandon Royval, 12-6, taking on Rogerio Bontorin. Bontorin at 17-3. Bontorin,
great plus, segue, dude.
+145. +145. Royval, -170. Over on rounds at 2.5. What do you got?
No, I mean, who's more of a freaking science or a freaking Jack 3D or a no NO Explode than Brandon Royval? Dude, this guy is hyped on pre-workout. He's lighting a bottle. He's super fast, explosive, well-rounded, puts himself in some precarious situations, but it's all part of the flowy state, dude, where he just goes, you know?
Yeah.
Dislocated arm, whatever he may be. He puts himself in situations that are not the best, but I have the utmost confidence he can come out of that. Rogerio, very like type A. This is a guy that's great on the ground. And he's dry bodies, tight submissions. We talked about in 2021. All about those tight bodies. Or not tight bodies. Dry bodies. He has a tight body too, dude. He's a freaking tiny dude. He's got body.
No, you can't walk that back. Just lean in that you're all tight body. Go ahead. Just lean into that.
All right. Well, Royval is probably not as sophisticated as it relates to the Brazilian jiu-jitsu aspect of this, but I love Royval in the scramble. I think he's unorthodox. He's creative. He's fast. He's explosive. I also think he's a title contender. I think this is a step down in competition for him. I think this line's actually very close, which is ridiculous. I think Brandon Royval should be at a much higher price than -170. So I think this is a great spot to take him. Will he let up, being that this is kind of like a, you know, whatever, I don't know. But I think that Rogerio is good for the first round. His cardio tanks in rounds 2 and 3. You're going to go with someone who has the most fantastic cardio in Royval, who's unorthodox, who's unique, who's explosive. I mean, I don't understand what else you could do. The only thing I could think is that Bontorin takes him to the ground, literally smothers him freaking Russian style, suffocates him and finds a submission. But I think Royval is more creative than that, and he's really fast. That's what I think.
That's interesting. See, I think Bontorin's a live dog here. I think that he is. So one of the things that we need to address is, I'm going to bring one of our private conversations to the forefront here.
Okay.
Yeah, we need to talk about these Colorado teams and how they finished. How they finished.
Elevation did not do good.
Elevation Factory X. We had some issues. We had some struggles. Started out the beginning of 2021 very hot. Cooled off, if you will, towards the end of 2021.
Yes.
Gym momentum is a big thing. We talk about that a lot. It's one of the unsung factors of MMA betting.
100%.
Brandon Royval is getting ready to fight Rogerio Bontorin, and Bontorin presents a very similar, I don't want to give him a bunch of credit when it comes to striking, but he presents a similar look within reason to the guy who just, to Alexander Pantoja, who beat Royval. I'm pretty sure he choked him unconscious. So we'll go with a pretty decided victory there. That being said, Pantoja is obviously a light years better striker, but we have an issue on the ground. We have an issue on the ground that needs to be addressed. Yes, he's creative on the ground. Yes, he's creative with the hands. But if you look at who he's losing to, right, at least in recent memory, LFA through now, Casey Kenney, Brandon Moreno, Alexander Pantoja. Okay, so elite level competition. That's who's beating Brandon Royval.
Right.
The problem is in the interim, wins over Tim Elliott and wins over Kai Kara-France. That's really kind of it. Now, I'm not shortchanging Tim Elliott, who is now famous for giving, you know, Mighty Mouse all he can handle for about 1.5 rounds. And Kai Kara-France just knocked out a very depleted shell, a wisp, a husk of Cody Garbrandt. Mm-hmm. So I'm not crazy about either one of those wins when I look at that in comparison to what Bonterrain has done as of recently with a dominant win over Matt Schnell, which was a bounce back to a loss from Kara-France and a loss to Ray Borg. And you know I love Ray Borg, but he beat Julian Paiva. He beat Magomed Biblatov. He's a legit threat to Brandon Royval. I know. You're how you feel about Royval. I felt the same way. I think we've bet him just about every time he's had a fight, but he's lost two. He's 2-2 in the UFC. We need to put some respect on his opposition here. I think Bonterrain is a live dog here because he can exploit some of the issues that Royval has had, which is bigger, stronger, physical fighters. Royval, as flowy state as he wants to be, can be bullied, can be pushed around, and is not very physically strong. Bonterrain is jacked. He's a big boy for flyweight. So this is going to be an interesting fight. I'm liking the idea, just personally, of a small sprinkle on Bonterrain at plus money here because I think that he has more than enough to get it done here. And minus 170 on Royval, I don't view him as almost a 2-1 favorite. I don't think that. I don't think that if these guys were to fight 10 times, that Royval is going to win, you know, more than 5 out of the 10 times. I just don't believe that. So I'm going to, as of right now, I'm on Bonterrain at plus money.
Didn't Bonterrain, he has like weight issues though. He struggles to get to 125, right?
He's big and he's strong.
Right. So maybe we wait till weigh-ins here, you know, this one.
Plays don't come out till Saturday anyway. So I'm just, I'm putting the asterisk out there because I'm.
No, but asterisks aside, if he misses weight and it's not super gnarly, we still taking him. I would take him.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah. You take a guy that has weight issues and then you eliminate the weight issue and allow him to come in heavier and less depleted. Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I'll take him there.
Yeah. I'm just, for the next couple of weeks, I'm just going to say this now, as we start to interject new people and a new energy into the year, you're going to hear me say, as of right now, we'll wait and see, because we're putting these things out on Tuesday. We're recording live on Tuesday. Wednesday it comes out. A lot changed. This last year, what we saw was a lot changed between episode time and pick release time. And quite a few people had issues with the things that we said on Tuesday and then how we bet on Saturdays. So I'm going to, whether I got to put a canned thing at the beginning of the episode or a canned thing at the end of the episode, we'll figure it out. But things are subject to change. Bonterrain right now at plus 145 seems juicy as underdog money for me because I don't like the price on Royval.
So juicy.
All right. Kalen Chookagian, this is your new co-main event, bro.
So hot.
The co-main event was supposed to be Muslim Salikov versus Michelle Pereira. Mm-hmm. That fell off. Then Andre Filho, who most recently knocked out James Vick, was going to step in short notice. And then somebody in Michelle's camp tested positive for COVID, so they pulled the fight. They're going to reschedule it. Yeah. So now your new co-main event is going to be Kalen Chookagian versus Jennifer Maia. Now, Jennifer Maia is an underdog here at plus 155. Kalen Chookagian is at a minus 180. And I am just going to say it right now. Jennifer Maia at plus 155. I'm betting women's dogs this year more aggressively than we did last year. Yeah. I know the Kalen Chookagians and the Jessica Eyes of the world tend to be very profitable for us because all they do is jab and grunt and move in circles. Yes. But Jennifer Maia, if she can get a hold of you, her kickboxing is fantastic and her ground game is light years better than Caitlin's. And I still, even though she's fought six times since she made this announcement, I'm still under the impression that Caitlin Chookagian could retire at any moment.
I keep saying it.
She hasn't done it, but I still believe it. I still believe she wants a baby in her belly and she's going to retire at some point. I'm telling you, I still believe it.
Dude, that when I saw this fight, I was like, how has she not had a baby and started a family yet? This, we've been talking about this for 2 years.
She said it 2 years ago. I don't know how many fights I have left. I want to start a family. I want to be a wife, this, that, and the other. And yet she still books fights.
I know. And 1 foot out the octagon, you always fade. The Maya play, I have a weird soft spot because if you remember last year, one of my biggest plays was Jennifer Maya over JoJo Calderwood. And I said by sub because I thought the discrepancy in submission versus striker, yada, 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 it came to fruition. But here's the thing with Jennifer Maya, let's go back 10 wins, collectively 10 wins. How many finishes do you think she's had?
You're talking about Caitlin Chookagian here.
No, I'm talking about Jennifer Maya.
Jennifer Maya? How many finishes does Jennifer Maya have in her last 10?
Yeah.
I have no idea. It can't be more than a handful. Yeah, I was going to say.
One, and it was the JoJo Calderwood fight that I called. Here's the thing. We like to look at Caitlin Chookagian as this decision queen, someone that's going to strike from distance, move around the cage, yelp, do whatever she's going to do. But, dude, that's Jennifer Maya also. She is a decision queen. Yes, she's more sophisticated on the ground. Yes, she comes in as a thicker chick, so you think that she's going to be able to shoot, clinch up against the cage and make this a long, boring fight. But she does that. She's boring. She's not a killer on the ground. She's not a killer on the feet. So this makes me nervous. I would like to go Maya too because I think plus 155, women's underdogs, science. But she's a decision fighter, and you're going against the decision queen in Caitlin Chookagian.
But how do we feel about this, considering that it's a rematch? Like
I know, and Caitlin got the better of Jennifer Maya. Couldn't close the distance for shit in the first fight.
Right. So I feel like she has to. I mean, do we think that Caitlin Chookagian 3 years later can go out and execute the exact same way?
Probably so.
You think so? You really think that Caitlin Chookagian's the play here?
I'm not playing her. I'm going to play Maya just because it's plus 155. It's a women's underdog science. And I'm hoping that Maya comes out and says, you know what? I don't care. I'll die on my sword. I'm going to shoot for a double. This thing's going to the ground.
I will chase you down. Yeah. Yeah.
But who knows?
Okay. Okay. I wonder if Caitlin's had any rematches before and what her record is in rematches.
Ooh, that's science.
I'm just wondering what that may be. I don't know.
Caitlin Chookagian to me reminds me a lot in the tennis world of Maria Sharapova.
Don't you dare compare Maria Sharapova to Caitlin Chookagian.
Why not?
Because Maria Sharapova is a national treasure and Caitlin Chookagian is not.
We're not talking about Shia LaBeouf here, dude. His national treasures. Dude. Why is Maria Sharapova a national treasure?
Because she showed. Listen, we don't have enough time to go into this right now.
This is weird. I need to go into this.
No, what? I'm stepping. So here's the thing: I'm stepping ankle deep into your waters here because you're Mr. Tennis. So I'm just throwing this out there, is that Sharapova showed up in a time where the sport was being dominated by the Williams sisters and shook everything up and did so with power and precision while being fan and camera friendly in a time where everybody only wanted to talk about the dominance of the Williams sisters. She came in and was like, nah, there's a third horseman part of this apocalypse. And not only that, beat them. So Sharapova, when she was hot, like in the sport, she was surface of the sun, untouchable. Now, did she have the staying power of the Williams sister? No, she did not. But when she was like a nuclear blast when she hit the scene. She literally decimated everything and then was gone just as quick as she came.
No,
that is not Caitlin Chookagian. Caitlin Chookagian is a Lincoln Town Car. She's so boring, and she's been around for 30 years, and you're never going to get more than point A to point B.
Sharapova was a counterpuncher. She was a wall, the most annoying person to play of all time. And she yelped like a fucking freak. Same thing Caitlin Chookagian does. It's the same person. 100%. I'm pretty sure they switched sports. I'm content. But that's cool, dude. That's cool. You like her. That's rad.
I don't think calling Caitlin Chookagian and Maria Sharapova outside of the yelping thing. Yes, I agree. They're both obnoxious when it comes to that.
Okay. So we're taking Maya.
Yeah, we're going to take Maya. Now that we got here. All right. Yeah. Main event of the evening, Calvin Kattar at 22-5, taking on Giga Chikadze. Chikadze at 14-2. Trey, I'm going to let you go first here. Kattar plus 91 as far as the time of this, but I've seen him as high as plus 200, plus 210, I think I saw somebody post one time. Minus 225, 226 for Giga coming the other way. The line continues to get longer for Giga Chikadze. I don't necessarily know that I agree that the money should be going that way, but I do kind of side with Vegas on this one. What do you think?
Two things that are tough for me to kind of wrap my head around here. I now know in year 2022 that Georgia is not actual Georgia, United States. It's an actual country. So that's cool.
Good for you.
Thank you. Outside of this kickbox and freaking stud from Georgia, that minus 226 line trips me out, because where is that coming from? You freaking beat up Cub Swanson. What the fuck are we talking about here? Oh, cool. You crossed the street. you took a breath of fresh air.
Can you break down the fight objectively without trying to take a shot at Cub?
We're
going to circle back to Cub at the end of the show, but I want you just break down the fight.
I'm trying to break it down. I'm just saying that the validity that Vegas is putting in the minus 226 line is driven directly from the devastation that came from fights like the Cub Swanson fight, which does not make sense to me. I think he's got great kicks. That's the X factor. We talked about it with Calvin when he was on the show. Who's going to throw kicks first in his last fight? Didn't happen. He's not a kickboxer. He's a boxer. He stands in the pocket and he throws. He can do it from distance, and he's very, very good at that. But with Giga Chikadze, a guy that can work from distance, who can utilize his kicks from distance, someone is going to throw in this X factor that Calvin has not been able to address, is a huge issue. I think that Kattar has fought the better of quality of competition, obviously, i.e. freaking Max Holloway. I'm worried about the Max Holloway fight. I know this is going to sound like the most redundant thing. Any podcast you listen to, any dissecting analyst that you're going to get on this fight is going to say the exact same thing. What does damage look like after the Max Holloway fight? You and I talk about one of the most prolific fights where damage was a huge issue to a fighter. We talk about the Rory McDonald, Robbie Lawler fight. Some fights take a huge piece of you going forward. I'm worried that Calvin fucking lost a lot, considering he took over 400 significant strikes to the freaking dome, was an absolute savage and stood in the pocket, got worked. He took a year off, sure. But we talk about camps earlier. We talk about New England Cartel, Rob Font coming off a loss. He's coming off the Holloway loss. The team is pretty much just Font and Kattar. You know, team momentum's not there. A piece was taken from him. Kickboxing is a freaking X factor. I want Kattar to win this fight more than anything. Plus 191. I would take that any other day of the week. But that, all that wrapped into one Christmas gift, makes me nervous. That was such a solid breakdown, dude. I'm like halfway drunk, and that was like, I'm thinking back in my mind, I'm like, nice work, Trey.
Okay. A big thing that weighs heavy on how I like to view underdogs is dog in the fight, or fight in the dog. And Kattar will fight for your money. I I love the toughness and the grit that comes out of Calvin Kattar. And I love the fact that I can put him in a position, no matter who's across the cage from him, and he's going to try his best to win the fight. You can't teach that level of toughness, but I can't bet on him again until I see him fight and win a fight.
Yes,
I can't do it. And it's not because he looked the way he did in the Max Holloway fight. It's what happened in the Max Holloway fight. It makes me nervous. Again, you said it perfectly. The talking points this week will be the Holloway fight and what the takeaway was from, or what the takeaway will be from that. One of the things that I think is interesting is that if Kattar comes back and looks like the Kattar of old, the Kattar that we thought was going to go into the Max Holloway fight, and I'm not sure there was a fighter on the planet Earth that could have beat Max that night. If that Kattar that we thought was going to show up at that fight showed up at that fight, I think that Giga is going to have some real problems because we don't know what Giga looks like at minute 15.
Right.
What we do, because he had the split over Brandon Davis, but we don't know what Giga looks like at minute 16. We don't know what he looks like at 20. We don't know what he looks like at 25. And Kattar, if you remember when he fought Zabit, remember this is when Zabit Magomed Sharipov was a thing years ago in Russia, they abridged that. It was supposed to be five rounds. They made it three. And at the end of that fight, and I say this fight, I say that to say this, Zabit presents a very similar skill set and problem that Giga will present. That's why this point is important. As that fight progressed, people thought Kattar was going to have issues with the kicks and the creativity of Zabit. And as that fight progressed, at the end of the third round, Kattar was firmly in control. Now, he lost the first two rounds, won very decisively. The second round, but third round was his. If that was a 25-minute fight, he would have beat Zabit. I feel confident he would have. You know, it's fighting, anything can happen. But Giga presents a lot of the same problems. My concerns with Kattar, exactly like you said, the damage, his very wide stance, that boxing stance, leaves the liver open. You talked about Cub, you talked about the liver kick. The body attack of Giga is a real problem. Step in knees, kicks to the liver, those are going to be an issue. Those are going to be an issue. Kattar's got, I mean, I obviously don't know more than Tyson Chartier when it comes to this. I'm sure they've prepared accordingly. Will they execute on Saturday night remains to be seen. If you like Kattar, take Kattar in the over. I believe as the fight progresses, he has the ability to win the fight. I don't think he's going to come out there and starch Giga right off the rip. 2.5, short time with a guy like Kattar. You got to give him time to work. If you like Kattar, take the over or take the money line. If you like Giga, I hate to say take inside the distance because even Max Holloway couldn't finish Kattar like that. But if Giga's going to win, I think it's going to be inside the distance because I think it's going to be because the damage from the Holloway fight showed up. So if the damage from the Holloway fight presents itself, Giga will get him out of there. If it doesn't, we know that Kattar is absolutely as tough as they come. So if you're asking me who I'm going to pick to win the fight, I'm at least right now initially leaning on Giga, but the value on Kattar might be something that I entertain on Saturday night. Truthfully, though, because I like both of these guys so much, this is a hard one for me to bet because I almost feel like a parent where I want both of them to do well. Obviously,
participation trophy.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, we like Giga because we've been on him since he was a prospect coming into the UFC. And has been one of our stable horses that we're constantly chirping at people to bet on outside of the Cub Swanson fight. And Kattar obviously is a friend of the show. So there's a little bit, I can't say that the picks and the feelings are ambiguous. They're very much tied together. But I need to see how Calvin looks, man. I need to see how he looks. So as of right now, I leave you with this. If you like Calvin Kattar, take a money line or take the over. If you like Giga, take inside the distance. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm just gonna text Calvin right now and just be like, dude, how are you feeling? You good? You good, bro?
Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, dude.
How do you really feel?
You a little foggy, dude, or you feel good?
You feeling like
I'm gonna do?
Like what yeah, round are we betting you to win? All right. You ready?
Dude.
Prelims? First prelim fight of the year. We're going to roll through them pretty quick.
Oh, man. It's a good one.
All right. Your girl, Vanessa Demopoulos at 6-4, taking on yes! Savannah Gomez-Juarez at 10-3. Your girl, Vanessa, is a favorite here, -130. Sylvania Gomez-Juarez is at +110 over runner on the 2.5. Do you go with science here, or do you go with the Glitter Factory?
I was distracted because my wife just came into the studio here and grabbed a bottle of wine. I don't understand it because like we drink together, but she grabbed it.
Is she 7 feet tall, or are you sitting on a kid's seat? You're looking like sky high.
Oh yeah, no, I draw with my crayons down here, down okay. below.
Gotcha. With your watercolors, you just
yeah. Here's the thing, dude. This fight to start off the prelims. If you are a longtime listener, you know there is a soft spot in Trey's heart for Vanessa Dimblalala. Can't pronounce her last name. She's
I wouldn't say it's soft.
Well, she's a stripper.
I wouldn't say it's a soft spot.
It's a hard spot. Dude, here's the thing. I was high on Vanessa for a long time because she was an LFA champ, and I have a very soft spot for LFA champs, i.e. like the Brandon Royvals, people like that. I think that that fielding system of LFA produces some of the best fighters. The problem is when she came on Dana White Contender Series, what was that, 2-3 fights ago or whatever, she reverted back to like savage instincts, which are like, ditch the technique, just go in there, adrenaline dump, fight like hell, but just don't get it done. Then she gets a short notice fight, same type of thing. I'm hoping this is like a third time as a charm type thing. She comes in and she just executes an actual game plan. I get worried because she's someone that aggressively walks in, but then once she understands that she's not as powerful, she backs up and just kind of takes punches as they come while backing up towards the end of the cage. I don't like that. Silvana, she's got good striking, but she's slower. So this is a spot where I've always bet on Vanessa. I was so excited to fade her because I'm like, this is the end of her career. It's done. But Silvana is not good. She takes forever to throw her shots. She's slower. She's a Caitlin Chookagian-esque type fighter that does not have any pop. She's pillow fisted. This is an absolute garbage fight. This is a can, and the UFC wants a stripper to win this fight.
I'm mine.
You what?
Out of your mind. First, am I still here?
Yeah, you're there.
Okay. I'm having some sort of internet issue here.
were you stopped in your tracks because it was so perfectly laid out for you? Is that what's up? Is that what happened?
No, I was just what was interesting to me that you said that a woman that has 10 career wins has no pop when 6 of her wins have come by knockout. And
oh, I'm sorry. Was that from Fisher Price fucking jungle fights or whatever?
Your price
what bullshit league was she getting her KOs in?
Hombres de Honor.
Yeah, I'm very familiar. Okay, keep going. What was the next
Hombres
one?
Hombres de Honor 43. She beat Angelica Lobos by knockout. Okay,
cool.
Okay. And then XFC International. She's got a couple armbar finishes there. And then Invictus Fighters, Combate 45, Lux Fight League, and UWC. She was racking up KOs.
Just Combate was the only one that I knew in that entire list.
All right. One, she's a women's underdog, so I'm taking her. And then two, she had here.
Oh, you're
got losses, right? These are her three losses. Pollyanna Tello, Loop. What's going on with my internet here? I've got my back.
Yeah, you're good. I think it's God saying that you're just spitting out garbage at this point.
She's only lost to Pollyanna Botelja, Ariana Lipsky, and Lupi Godinez.
You love Lupi. That's why. Now I understand.
She's only lost to women that have won fights in the UFC. Vanessa has never won a fight in the UFC.
She's only had three fights.
She hasn't won one yet. She hasn't won one. Taking my girl, Silvana Gomez-Juarez, plus money. Give it to me. Give it to me. Do you want a people's main event, the first fight? You know, here's what's crazy is, you know, Chris Tognoni is going to be the ref for that fight.
I know. So then it makes me think that, who knows? It's a coin.
It makes me think that I shouldn't bet the first two fights of the. It's almost like we need to make a Chris Tognoni contingency list where we see where he starts in the roster and then count it out to see which plays are still viable.
Do they predetermine that?
They determine it, I think, the day of, but we can't see it.
Right. So you wouldn't know until literally he walks out of the shadows and he's there.
He's one of the first two fights every time. So right. He's either – you see him once, and then you need to see who else is refereeing to see what the rotation is. So usually the apex, as of late, has been Tognoni, Mark Smith.
Smith, yeah. Herzog.
Herzog and then Beltran have been like the four really active apex folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I need to see, you know, almost like the caveat again needs to be Tognoni, which I know a lot of people love Chris Tognoni, but those of you who are unaware, he is an absolute scourge.
Who loves
him? To our show. Dude, people really like, somebody puts, they had all the end of year end awards and stuff, and people, like, all these accounts online were posting like, oh, who's your favorite, blah blah blah, and Tognoni was like, people were like, oh, Tognoni's one of the more consistently good referees out there. I was
consistent, every person sucking dick, dude,
just consistently inconsistent. And not to mention he's just bad luck.
He's horrible.
Whether or not he's good at his job or not, I can't say, because I don't think I've won a fight where he's the referee.
No.
So, all right. Brian Kelleher at 23-12, taking on Saeed Yakub Karamanov. I'm going to go with that. Yeah, I know, right? It's a lot. Karamanov minus 162. Brian Kelleher at plus 140. Overrun around is at 2.5. Why don't you take Brian Kelleher here?
Why not? He checks all the boxes, dude. He's a little muscled dude. Good striking, good grappling. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, what's the harm? Let me say this. What's the harm in taking Brian Kelleher?
There's not. Brian Kelleher only falls by the wayside when he's faced with legit UFC competition. He is a glorified entry into the UFC. You want to know where the barometer is set? It's Brian Kelleher. He will tell you if you're UFC quote unquote caliber. What blows my mind, dude, did you know that guys, he's kind of a nerd.
I mean, I've watched him on his Instagram live freestyle rap before. But yeah, I think he's got a little bit of nerd.
But he sells like baseball cards and.
Hey man, there's money to be made there, bro. Cards are coming back, man. Cards are coming back.
Well, he's going to get a win here on Saturday. And it's not going to be a performance of the night. The bonus is not going to be something absolutely fantastic, but it's going to get the job done versus a guy I cannot pronounce his name.
I'll say this. Karamanov looked fantastic when he submitted Trevin Jones. That being said, Brian Kelleher has been around long enough and faced very high level competition for a sustainable amount of time, more so than I think Karamanov has. Dog that'll fight for my money in Brian Kelleher, with knockout power and good submission skills, decent wrestling, great cardio, power in a lighter guy, and he's going up against in a lightweight as well, but I relatively untested as far as I'm concerned at elite level competition. So I'm going to take Kelleher. I'm going to take the experience. I'm going to take the dog in the fight. It's in a card like this, you got to scratch for value. I think Kelleher at plus 140, that's decent value.
Trevin Jones has no cardio. Brian Kelleher is going to have cardio.
Okay. These are hot takes, man. You're coming in hot this year. Coming in hot. Dakota Bush, 8-3, taking on. I think it's called, is it Vakishlav Borshev?
No, dude, you just call him this.
Slav.
Slava Claus. Yes.
Slava Claus at a minus 180. Dakota Bush at a plus 155. Over and around is at 2.5. Another spot where I think there's value on the underdog here. I know you're a big Slava Claus guy because he's team alpha male. Blah, blah, blah. And he had a great knockout in contender series. But, dude, Dakota Bush, good wrestling, good cardio. I mean, this is a legit – hear me when I say it. Plus 155, you got a decent shot to make some underdog money here.
I get your sentiment. Dude, plus 155 is glory MMA fighter. So, you know, James Krause is going to be freaking salve in the corner. I know you love some James Krause.
It's not true at all, but go ahead.
Slava Claus is the real deal, dude. Mm-hmm. Yes, he had a devastating knockout in Dana White Contender Series, which put him on the map. But you got to remember, this is a guy that's a kickboxing freaking whiz, dude. He has like 300 plus fights in freaking kickboxing. This isn't a new sport for him, dude. He's knows what's up. His grappling is fantastic because of Team Alpha Male. His striking is fantastic because of his history. Like Slava Claus, dude. He's real, dude. He's dropping off fucking presents for everyone this year, and it's going to be knockouts.
All right. I don't love Dakota Bush enough to die on this hill defending that breakdown. I think Bush is a live dog here. TJ Brown taking on Gabriel Benitez. Benitez at 22-9. TJ Brown at 15-8. Benitez at a minus 177. Brown coming back at a plus 150, plus 152. Over under rounds at 2.5. I mean, we just go Gabriel Benitez here, right? We don't think that TJ Brown. What, dude? Do you think TJ Brown's got a shot at winning this fight?
Of the glory MMA fighters, I actually think this is the good glory MMA fighter on the card.
Let me pull up the people's main event sound.
Wait, no. You had this, dude. You had this holstered. I can see it in your eyes. You knew it when I sent you plays earlier. Which, by the way, for all new listeners out there, I always send my plays to Dale, and then Dale never sends shit, and then he decides to fade all my picks when we get on the show to act like he is the superior intellect that he is.
That's not at all. My plays have no bearing on your show prep. If you come and you're convicted, do I ever push back on your stuff? I always say I respectfully disagree with you. I don't ever tell you.
Which is the worst thing you could say. That's essentially, you're a moron. This is what the answer is. Fine. I'd love to hear your reason for Gabriel freaking Benitez, the guy that thinks, which by the way, he is the real Mowgli. If you
yes. yes.
Yeah. But no, the guy that thinks he's the hardest kicker in the UFC, talks the biggest game, flamboyant, freaking boisterous, thinks he's the shit. He's fucking 1-3 in his last four. Dude, TJ Brown, glory MMA, Krause, solid wrestling. That's his background. What you love, pocket boxing, good flowy state, solid plus money here.
Okay. Three of those four, like you said, Billy Q, who we love, Omar Morales, future contender, Sadiq Youssef, just absolutely grounded. In one of the best prospects that's out there currently, win over Justin James, not a UFC level talent, so I'll get rid of that. Humberto Bandanai, Jason Knight, Sam Cecilia, all wins there. If I'm looking at that, I'm taking it in comparison to TJ Brown, right? TJ Brown, like you said, fantastic wrestler. I can't say anything against that. But losses to Danny Chavez, losses to Jordan Griffin and Cody Carrillo, as well as Bobby Moffitt, the Wolfman, right? So I just don't see anything when I look at TJ Brown that makes me think that he can compete with a guy like Gabriel Benitez. Yes, he's in a gym full of killers. I won't take anything away from him like that. But if you look at who Gabriel Benitez has fought versus the last win that TJ Brown has, which is a split decision over Kai Kamaka, who is no longer with the promotion, a split decision, mind you, no longer with the promotion, I am not sold on him in this spot. Now, can a wrestler with good cardio potentially win you a fight? Absolutely. But I don't think he has good 3-round cardio. I think he has good 13-minute cardio, depending on how hard he has to work for those 13 minutes. And why I say that 13-minute time period is that he can potentially, depending on how hard he's working, win you about 2 rounds. But if one's a wishy-washy round or one can be split either way, he's going to drop a round for sure if it goes all three, and one's going to be tossed up in the air. I'm going with Gabriel Benitez. Better camp, better competition, and he's got knockout power. I'm taking Gabriel Benitez here. I should never, never really. Yeah, I'll take Gabriel Benitez here.
I just want to know, you think AKA is better than Glory?
Historically speaking, yes. I don't even think it's even remotely close to being a competition.
Not historically speaking, present day speaking.
100% still better.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
All right. 100%. Yes.
Okay. All right. We'll take Benitez.
Tim says should be a pick'em line, this one, for the people's main event. Here's the thing, though, Tim, is that it's one of those things where it just has to be the fight that we people's main event is largely based on which one we disagree the most vehemently on. And we've had a little bit of differences so far, but Trey seems really high on TJ Brown here.
No,
so
I'm not.
Since you love TJ so much, I'm going to make you really, really hold on to it. All right.
No.
Can we get through these last couple here? Cause
yeah,
I got to go to bed. I got to work in the morning. Not all of us work from home. All right. Court McGee at 21-10, taking on Ramiz Brahmaj. Brahmaj at 9-3. Court McGee at 21-10. This is an over, or I'm sorry, this fight is a pick'em as far as I'm concerned. And yeah, it is cool. Awesome. Overrun rounds is at 2.5 here. Trey, do we go against what has been the Court McGee recipe and just go Court McGee by decision?
I think we start this off by what we always do with Court McGee is the over under on how many times they call him a drug addict.
Yeah, we'll go with two. It's got to be, we'll do 1.5 because it's got to be the half because of potential over. So I'm going to go 1.5 on the amount of times that they talk about his addiction / drug addict.
Okay, good. That seems like a fair line. Dude, I'm going Court here.
Are you? Okay.
Old salty dog that he is.
Okay.
I think that he's got fantastic. You're not finishing Court McGee. He's got fantastic defense, whether that's on ground or that's actually standing. You don't shut down this blue collar motherfucker, dude. It just doesn't happen. Ramiz, though, he's that guy that's going to drown you on the ground. He is a leech. He's a guy that's going to modern day freaking go in there, half guard, hold, strangle, do whatever you can to just stick on white rice. Now, I don't know. Is he going to be able to hear what his corner says? The guy, he has one ear. I mean, we talk about, you know, he's a modern day gladiator as it relates to doing things on the ground. He's also a modern day fucking Van Gogh. The guy has one ear. You don't remember?
It's still there. It's not there.
Max Griffin punched that thing up into bleachers. He is a one ear man. At weigh-ins, I want to see that one weird ear. I'm going Court McGee. I don't think he's going to be able to hear what his corner's saying. I also think he's very one dimensional. Court McGee's well-rounded. He's a freaking fight for your money. I'm shocked this is a pick'em. I was hoping I can get, actually, I'm going to wait. And cause I think Court McGee's going to come in at plus money and that's when I'm going to strike like a freaking snake, dude.
Okay. Okay. Last time that Court McGee was submitted. Do you know when that was?
When I was born, 1988.
Last time Court McGee was submitted was 2010.
Oh my, yeah, what?
Brahmaj has 9 career victories by submission.
Yeah,
if he's winning the fight, he's submitting you.
Right.
He's not knocking you out. So I feel it feels so weird to feel confident in a Court McGee play.
Yeah.
But Brahmaj has one path to victory, and it's submission. And Court McGee has not been submitted in almost 12 years.
Right.
That's such a long time. Do you go with that and say, logically, he hasn't been submitted in 12 years, this guy's not going to submit him? Or do you take the degenerate gambler approach to it and you go, it's been 12 years, he's due to get submitted? Which one do you take?
Dude, 12 years.
All right, I'm taking McGee. I'm taking Court McGee. Fine. Let's go. Last fight. featured prelim. Jamie Pickett, Joseph Holmes. Joseph Holmes at 7-1. Jamie Pickett at 12-6. Holmes is a favorite here, despite making his promotional debut against Jamie Pickett, plus 130, minus 150 for Holmes over and arounds at 1.5. I'm going to be honest with you. I normally would be inclined to take the over in this fight, but does a knockout seem likely here? Does a fast knockout seem likely? No?
No.
Okay.
It's a bummer because we've had some people in the chat that have said, hey, what's going on with the Pickett-Holmes fight? Have you guys gone over it yet? People are interested in this fight for a couple of reasons. I'm not interested in it for a plethora of reasons. Dude, Jimmy Pickett is the type of guy that is a good fighter but never executes his game plan.
Oh, wow.
He is a guy that has striking. He has grappling. But what does he end up doing? He just elongates the fights. He clinches heavy. He lays. He waits for the bell to sound. Like Boar, Snorfest, Elias Thoradu, fucking
Theodore.
Put me to sleep, dude. Just super boring. I don't like it. And Holmes coming in a Dana White contender series, Glory MMA. He just looks meh, dude. He looks very like meat and potatoes type fighter. I think if Jamie Pickett comes in and does what he's supposed to do, and utilize the techniques and talents that he actually has, he can win this fight. But if he's going to go in and just lay and pray and let Holmes be the aggressor, have the adrenaline dump of a true, you know, first UFC Vegas 46 fight card, he's going to lose this fight because he's going to not have the octagon control. He's going to look like the aggressor, all this stuff. Jamie Pickett's in a bad position. I don't want to bet on Jamie Pickett. But being that he's at plus money, I have to, because I'm thinking that the tides are going to turn. We're going to see a resurgence. We're going to see what should be the true self of Jamie Pickett.
Fun fact is that Jamie Pickett is a Conflict MMA alum.
Oh, really?
He is. He is. Right before before he went to the Contender Series, his last fight was with Conflict MMA.
I have to bet him for sure then.
I thought Jamie Pickett looked really good in the Laureano-Steropoli fight. Steropoli's very creative.
Italian.
Doesn't present the same ground skills that, say, Joseph Holmes does. But when I look at Holmes, I don't see a guy that's fought anybody. With all due respect to his record, his career, and the people that that have put the time in and competed against him, I don't see the value in the quality of competition anywhere near Jamie Pickett, anywhere near who Jamie Pickett has recently fought or fought even regionally coming up before. I'm going to go Pickett here at plus money. I'll be leaning the over 1.5 here, but I'm not loving it. But I'm going to lean the over 1.5, and I'm on Jamie Pickett money line underdog.
I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
Let's run through these real quick. Subject to change come Saturday. But as it stands right now, just money line, what do you like? Vanessa and Sylvania.
Vanessa.
I'm on Sylvania. Kelleher and Karamanov.
Kelleher.
I'm on Kelleher as well. Bush and Slava Claus.
Slava Claus.
Okay. Bush. Benitez, TJ Brown.
Benitez.
we people's main event of that. You can't switch it.
Do whatever I want. Things are subject to change, bitch.
All right. Well, then the people's main event is Sylvania versus Vanessa, then.
Which I'm way happy about. First fight of the night, absolutely.
Okay. All right. All right. So we're both on Benitez then?
Yeah. Which, perfect. By the way, if Benitez loses, I'm going to talk a lot of shit. But
Court McGee, Ramiz, Brahmash.
Court McGee.
I'm on McGee as well. Jamie Pickett, Joseph Holmes.
Pickett.
I'm on Pickett as well. Algio and Brito.
Algio.
I'm going to go Brito for right now. Sherman and Collier.
Collier.
I'm on Collier as well. Royval, Bonterine.
Royval.
I'm on Bonterine. Maya Chukagian.
Maya.
I'm on Maya as well. And then Giga and Cater.
I don't like it, but I'm going Giga.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even want to say it out loud so somebody can screenshot it you know what I mean? I need to see Cater win a fight.
Rooting for Cal.
There we go. There we go. Heart says Cater, head says Giga.
Yeah.
Perfect. And
that's fair. If someone said that to you in life, would you be pissed?
Maybe a little bit. It's kind of like somebody saying they're just disappointed in you.
Oh, that's the worst.
Right.
Like if your dad says that to you.
Yeah. Oh, here's what I got growing up. You have so much potential.
Oh, dude.
Did you ever have anybody say that to you?
No, I had the Trey great participation.
I used to get all the time, like, Dale, you have so much potential if you would just apply yourself.
Oh, the application, dude.
Dude, I used to get that all the time. Like, Dale, you could do whatever you wanted if you would just apply yourself.
And then would you just come back with the knife thing and just be like, I'll do stuff.
I'll do whatever I want.
Hand? I'll do what I want to do.
Do whatever I want. Yeah, that's I don't know. Yeah. Look at me now. Seventh grade geography teacher doing an MMA podcast. What's up, bro? Come at me. Come at me, Mr. Haley. Yeah. Speaking of Haley's, yes. Punchlist alum Haley Cowan, finally 2 years away from the cage because nobody wanted to fight her, is fighting in Invicta tomorrow night. Invicta's YouTube channel and MMAJunkie.com.
She's going to murder.
She's a minus 300 favorite.
Yeah,
for being honest. The hope is, talking to her, is that we're going to have her on next week. Win, lose, or draw, she's coming on the show next week. So we'll talk to her then. But the hope is that she wants to get out of this fight quick, fast, in a hurry with a finish and get on the UFC Houston card.
Get a call from Sean Shelby, get her into Houston, get a win, get on her way.
Yep. Who's your most confident play of the night? Saturday.
Wow. You go. I gotta think.
My most confident play of the night, I'm going to go with Collier over Sherman.
What heavyweight fight? You're out of your mind, dude. That was stupid. That was so dumb.
Lock it up, baby.
No. I don't have a confidence. This is a very tough card. I think we're going to have to be really surgical.
Ton of close lines here. Yeah.
Ton of close lines.
Yeah.
All right, bye. I refuse to answer.
Got anything for the people before we cut this loose?
Nope. All good.
All right. If you made it from 2021 into 2022, we appreciate you and we love you. Buckle up. We got a lot planned for you this year, including making a ton of money. So until this weekend, see you guys later. Be good to each other.
Bang, bang.